dress that's cruel. And if I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you some art,
a Picasso or a Garfunkel.
If I had $1 million,
if I had $1 million,
well, I'd buy you a monkey.
Haven't you always wanted a monkey?
If I had $1 million, I'd buy you.
I'd be rich.
Good Sunday morning, everyone. It's 6 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. and you're listening to 91.5 FM WMFO Medford Tufts Freeform Radio. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, May the 21st, 2017 edition of a Brown Perspective on Sports. Talking sports here virtually every Sunday from about 4 to 5 a.m. And to get involved in the sports conversation, you have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Just about anything and everything is fair game. As far as the world of sports is concerned, certainly love to hear your perspective, what's going on out there in your neck of the sporting world. The number again, 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. I'll be back.
Thank you.
Okay, it's 11 minutes past the hour of 4 a.m. here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on the FM dial. Also on the internet, www.wmfo.org, multicasting, and iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, May the 21st, 2017 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. To get involved in the sports conversation, just have to give me a call. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Okay, Major League Baseball scores yesterday. First of all, Royals and Twins and the Brewers and Cubs were both postponed because of bad weather. In the American League, the A's 8 and the Red Sox 3. Cleveland 3 and the Astros zip. The Rays 9 and the Yankees 5. Tigers 9 and the Rangers 3. Orioles 7 and the Blue Jays 5. The White Sox 16 and the Mariners 1. Over the National League, the Pirates 6 and the Phillies 3. The Braves 5 and the Nationals 2. The Reds 12 and the Rockies 8. The Giants 3 and the Cardinals 1. That game went 13 innings. Marlins 10 and the Dodgers 6. And the Diamondbacks 9 and the Padres 1. In interleague play, the Mets 7 and the Angels 5. In the Red Sox game, Mookie Betts went 0 for 4. He's hitting .283 on the season. Dustin Pedroia went 2 for 4 with an RBI. He's hitting .284 on the season. Xander Bogaerts went 0 for 4. He's hitting .320. Hanley Ramirez went 2 for 4. He scored a run and also got an RBI because he hit his sixth home run of the year. He's hitting .258. Chris Young went 2 for 4, scored a run. He's hitting .269. Benintendi went 0 for 4. He's hitting .278. Rutledge went 0 for 4 with an RBI. He's hitting .289. Vasquez went 1 for 4. He's hitting .309. And Devin Marrero went 0 for 3, scored a run. He's hitting .129. Drew Pomeranz went to 4 innings, gave up 5 hits, 2 runs, one of them earned, walked 2, struck out 6. He had a 4.97 ERA, but he threw almost 100 pitches in 4 innings, and so he got yanked. Taylor came in, had no success whatsoever, didn't get anybody out, gave up 3 hits, 4 runs, all of them earned, walked 1, and gave up 2 home runs. He had a 6.59 ERA, and he got the loss, 0-1 on the season. Noah Ramirez came in. He pitched 3 innings, gave up 3 hits, 2 runs, both of them earned. Also gave up 2 home runs. He walked 1, struck out 3. He has a 3.86 ERA, and A-Bag closed it out. Pitched a 1 inning, gave up a walk, struck out 1. He has a 2.03 ERA. And so the Red Sox have lost 3 straight on the road after winning 2. Lost 3 straight in a row to Oakland after winning 2 out in St. Louis. And the Red Sox have not been able to put together a winning streak that would sort of say, let's separate ourselves from the rest of the division. Hasn't happened. I was saying, you know, they had the injuries, they had the sickness. At the beginning of the year, everybody's healthy now, but we still haven't been able to put it all together. We still had injuries. Our knuckleballing pitcher Wright went down, is out for the year with knee surgery after having shoulder problems. We still haven't had anything out of Carson Smith or the other relief pitcher that we picked up from Pittsburgh, Thornburg. And so, therefore, they've had their problems. And here again, excuse me, missing the bat of David Ortiz in the middle of the lineup certainly hasn't helped either. But that's what happens, you know. Moreland hasn't played bad, but he's not David Ortiz, that's for sure. Very good, you know, first baseman, even though he's made some errors this year. Maybe it's the pressure of playing Boston. I don't know. But anyway, we're going to have to see. The season's still young. We're just in May, and David Price had his first minor league rehab session. He went two innings, gave up some runs and some hits, but at the end of it, he said that he felt fine physically. So it's just a case of getting sharp. And I assume, he says he thinks he's going to be able to pitch when the Red Sox get to Texas. But I don't know if that's the case. Well, we'll wait and see what happens with that one. But to me, Pomeranz has not been that successful, even though he's had some injury problems as well. We brought up Vasquez, and he got pounded around in his first major league start. So it's going to be interesting to see what takes place in the days which are ahead. Can we get some timely hitting? We've been getting men on base, but we haven't been able to drive them in. That's the main problem. And so the batting averages look really good. But when it comes to runs scored and whatnot, hasn't worked out that well. But anyway, you know, we've been getting stellar pitching from Chris Sale. Porcello hasn't been bad. He hasn't been getting much run support. Eduardo Rodriguez has been pitching really well. And again, not getting a whole lot of run support. So, you know, we've got three starters. When we get, you know, Price back, you know, that'll make it four fairly dependable starters. We'll see how far we can go from there. Pedro Sandoval has been working out with Pawtucket. I don't know how close he is to coming back. That might give us some more batting power at third base. His glove hasn't been that dependable so far, but here again, we didn't hire him to be a glove man. We hired him for his bat, and his bat has not been there thus far. But, you know, he'll probably be an improvement over Rutledge. And I thought Hernandez was going to do really well, but then he got hurt, and he's out for the rest of the year. So, hey, away it goes. Rafael Devers has been doing really well up in Maine, at the team in Maine, in Portland, I guess it is. But do we want to rush him up? Benintendi seems to be in a slump, like they got the book on him. And he's been in a woeful slump. So we're going to see. He went 0-4 yesterday again. We're going to see whether he can break out of it. What happens? Once you recognize what they're doing to get you out, the question is, can you adjust? And I'm sure the Red Sox coaching staff knows what's going on as far as Benintendi is concerned. The question is, can he adjust to what they're doing? And we'll have to just wait and see on that one. Okay, it's 4:20 here on WMFO. This is Medford, Massachusetts, 91.5 on your FM dial. We're on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And I'm your host, Donnelly Brown, on this Sunday, May the 21st, 2000 edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports, here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. talking sports. Let's get you involved in sports conversation. Again, you have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Be back.
200,000 women and men of Rotary have accomplished extraordinary things. They've taught millions of people to read, worked toward world peace, and have nearly eradicated a crippling childhood disease from the face of the planet. But each of those 1,200,000 women and men know they could accomplish so much more if only they were 1,200,000 and one. Find out what an impact one person can make. Learn about Rotary at Rotary.org.
And the message is brought to you by our friends here at WMFL, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and a Brown Perspective on Sports. Let's get back to baseball. doesn't seem to anybody in the American League East that's running away with it. The Yankees had a great start and were leading by a bit, but Baltimore, I believe, is overtaking them. The Baltimore Orioles, I think, are 25-16. While the Yankees are 24-16, so Baltimore's a half a game ahead of New York. Boston is still trailing, 21-21. They're at 500. They're 4.5 games back. And then there's Tampa Bay at 23-22. And Toronto is bringing up the rear at 18-26, I'm sorry. In the Central Division, Minnesota, surprisingly, is out in first place. The Twins didn't play yesterday. They're 21-17, followed by Cleveland, 21-20, a half a game back. And then there's Detroit, 21-20. They're right there with them. Cleveland's 22-19. And then followed by Chicago and Kansas City. West Houston has a fairly sizable lead. The Astros lost yesterday. They're 29-14. Texas won. They're 24-20. They're 5.5 games back. Followed by the Angels, Seattle, and Oakland. who's gaining ground because of the Red Sox. Nationally, the Washington Nationals, they are 25-17 with a big lead over Atlanta. And Atlanta is not supposed to be, in the rebuilding mode. They're 17-23. Matter of fact, there isn't a single team other than Washington in the National League East who is over 500. Excuse me. So that's saying something. Out in the Central, the Milwaukee Brewers did not play, but they're leading 25-18 over the Cardinals, who are 21-19, followed by Chicago Cubbies, who are having problems, 21-21, Cincinnati, 20-22, and Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh is 19-24. West, the Colorado Rockies lost yesterday, but they're 27-17 ahead of the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are 26-18, followed by the Dodgers, the Giants, and San Diego. So, as far as baseball is concerned, there's still a lot going on. And it's, you know, like I said, except for the Astros in the American League West, and the Nationals in the National League East, no one seemed to be, you know, making any major inroads and taking any ground away from their contenders to say, well, you know, it looks like it's going to be all over. It's not over until it's over. So let's go on and see what takes place from this point on. Let's go now at 4:31 here on WMFO in Medford. Let's go now to the NBFA. Yesterday, last night, the Warriors defeated the Spurs 120-108, and Golden State leads that series 3-0. And the night before, the Boston Celtics got humiliated by the Cleveland Cavaliers 130-86. It was sometimes during that game that Cleveland was up by 50. 50 points. And what can I say? With the next two games in Cleveland, it doesn't look good. Plus, Isaiah Thomas went out early in the first half with a hip injury. And from what I understand, he's probably out for the rest of the playoffs. So we'll have to see what Brad Stevens and the rest of the guys can do. Can they just play a game for their own personal well-being? you know, to save face? Well, we're going to have to wait and see. It's the ball is in their court. So we got to wait and see if they can pull one out. Just to say, hey, at least we won one game. And they're going to really have to work to do that. Okay, before we move on NBA basketball, excuse me. I remember when my boys were young, younger. They are right now. We are. No one's getting younger. We're all getting older. But anyway, we always had this big conversation about who was better, Michael Jordan or Bill Russell. Well, I saw both of them, Michael Jordan and Bill Russell. And like I said, I always say, hey, Russell has 11 rings, championship rings in the NBA. He has 2 NCAA titles. He has an Olympic gold medal when the Olympic teams were made up only of college players. If I count right, that's 13. The 2 years he didn't win, he was injured. And if he knew how good Dave Collins was going to be the year he retired, who knows how many more he would have won, because Collins came in, only, even though he was only 6'9", and he gave all the other centers in the NBA all they could handle, including Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Lew Alcindor at the time, who came in at 7'2", 7'3", whatever he is. and I believe that's the main reason that Bill Russell retired, because he just didn't want to be embarrassed by this young guy who was at least 6 inches taller than he was, you know. So, but Collins, you know, Collins gave Alcindor scored on everybody, but Collins gave him all he could handle, and the Celtics did win the championship even during the Alcindor era. And who knows, Bill Russell might have recognized that Steve Kuberski was a real good player, which Tom Heinsohn would not recognize, and who knows what might have happened. Who knows, he might have coached right into the Larry Bird era. But anyway, that didn't happen, and so therefore, I still would say that Bill Russell as player, coach, and as player, and with all those other accolades, is the greatest basketball player in history. Now, seeing what LeBron James has been doing recently, at 6'9", playing small forward, you know, just pulverizing people. The question is, has LeBron James moved ahead of Michael Jordan? Well, as far as the championships are concerned, he hasn't, but he is gaining, and right now he seems to be like an unstoppable force. Now the question is, can he, with all of his ability, defeat Golden State, who just loaded up when they added Kevin Durant to their lineup? Hey, it's going to be interesting. You got to say that Golden State is probably the better shooting team. The Cavaliers are probably the better defensive team, better rebounding team. Cavaliers may have a slightly better bench. I'm not really sure about that. Haven't been following Golden State as much as I would like to, but it's going to be an interesting series. And I would take Golden State primarily because they have home court advantage, but they obviously have no one that can stop LeBron James. But they can shoot with them, and they can, you know, they can probably hold their own. We're going to have to wait and see. We have to wait and see. We have no choice to wait and see until the series starts. And then that also brings us now back to the Boston Celtics. Like I said earlier in the season, that the problem with having a 5'9 Isaiah Thomas as your leading scorer is that defensively, it's a problem. There aren't too many people that he can guard. He plays the passing lanes, you know, fairly well. But what teams do in the playoff is they bring their big point guard, shooting guard, down and match up on him, and they overpower him on the inside, getting easy baskets, and all he can do is foul or let them score. You can't stop anybody. That brings us to the question now, when his contract is up, are we going to give him a max contract? We're not going to worry about that now. We have to concern ourselves with who is going to be our first pick in the draft. I think it's going to be Markelle Fultz. He seems to do it all. He plays point guard, but he's 6'5", so he could probably play shooting guard without any problem. He's a good passer. He's a good defender. Against someone his size. I would assume that next year it's going to be Thomas and Bradley starting, with Fultz coming off the bench. And then we have from A to Z coming over from Turkey, Anton Zizek, who's 6'10", 6'11", only 21 years old. Supposedly a tough center that we don't have. Give us that inside game that will allow us to move Sorry about that. That allows to move Al Horford to the power forward position. And Horford's shown that he's a great passer. Not a sensational rebounder, but that would help. And so the Celtics bench next year will be stronger. Now we have other guys coming. Gabusele, will he be a power forward that we could put on LeBron James to give Crawford, you know, a little break as well? We'll have to wait and see on that one. But anyway, we have a way to go. We have excellent coaching in Brad Stevens. Will he be able to work something out for the benefit of the ball club? That's also going to be something we're going to have to wait and see. It's 4:40 here on WMFO in Medford, 91.5 on your FM dial. I'd like to hear some comments out there about who you would rank ahead of each other, Michael Jordan or LeBron James. Like I said, Bill Russell is in a stratosphere by himself right now. And that's my opinion. 4:40 here at WMFO in Medford, 91.5 in your FM dial. We're on the internet, www.wmfo.org. And we multicast on iTunes.com, radio, and YouTube. And you can download the WMFO mobile app, 91.5fm.org. I'll be back.
There's a threat targeting America. One that's growing fast, but may still be hard to see. Lyme disease. Spread by tiny ticks, often smaller than the head of a pin, this dangerous disease is now more widespread than West Nile, tuberculosis, and HIV/AIDS combined. And if left untreated, it can lead to arthritis, facial paralysis, and even memory and concentration problems, often called brain fog. As the threat of Lyme disease grows to more than 300,000 projected cases each year, it's time for us to target Lyme disease. That means checking for ticks when you've been outside, even in your own backyard. It means seeing a doctor if you experience the symptoms of Lyme disease, which can include joint pain, flu-like symptoms, fever, fatigue, or sometimes a bullseye-shaped rash. Set your sights on stopping Lyme. Learn how you can target Lyme disease at targetlyme.org.
And the message brought to you by friends here at WMFO, Sounds of Praise Ministry, and the Brown Perspective on Sport. 4:47, the Brown Perspective on Sport. Time with Donnelly Brown. We're talking sports here virtually every Sunday from 4 to 5 a.m. to get involved in the sports conversation. Have to give me a call, 1-855-915-WMFO, 1-855-915-9636. Just tuning in. The Red Sox lost their third straight to the A's 8-3 yesterday. The Warriors defeated the Spurs 120-108 in the NBA. Golden State leads that series 3-0. The Cavaliers pounded the Celtics. They're up 2-0 in that series. And the question I'm asking, has LeBron James caught or passed Michael Jordan as one of the best players in the history of the NBA? Let's go to the National Hockey League. The Predators defeat the Ducks 3-1, and they lead that series 3-2. In the other series, the Penguins and the Senators are tied at 2 games apiece. And I guess Bruins fans can take some consolation in the fact that they played the Senators fairly hard and with a lot of injuries, did fairly well before succumbing to the Senators. And the Senators are still, they might be on their way to the NHL Finals. They have a shot. They, 3 games left. They got to win 2 of them. And we're going to wait and see what happens on that one. What else can we do but wait and see? Okay, let's see. In the WNBA yesterday, 2 games. The Fever, 81, and the Suns, 79. And the Lynx, 89, and the Wings, 87. For the Sun, Kaiser got 12 points, 3 rebounds, and a block. Morgan Tuck got 13 points, 6 rebounds, and a steal. Jones got 19 points, 12 rebounds, 4 assists, and a steal. Bentley got 14 points, 2 rebounds, 3 assists, and 2 steals. Williams got 10 points, 5 rebounds, 2 assists, and a steal. Strickland got 2 points, 3 rebounds, and an assist. Adams got 9 points, and Benham and Hooper both played but did not score. And so the Sun, I believe, are 0-2 on the season, if you're a WNBA fan. In the Preakness, the heavy favorite, Always Dreaming, did not win. A horse named Cloud Computing won the race, and I couldn't find who came in second or third as I searched the internet feverishly. They didn't give me that information. So anyway, there won't be a Triple Crown winner this year. Always Dreaming wins the Winter Derby, and Cloud Computing wins the Preakness. And Cloud Computing ran a very strong race, came from behind and nosed out whoever the second place horse was. And like I said, I couldn't find any information on the second and third place winner. If you know, give me a call. I'll let my listeners know, because you'll be able to fill me in. 1-855-915-WMFO. 1-855-915-9636. Okay, Nothing spectacular, no new spectacular news from the New England Patriots. They've been going through their conditioning and everything else, and all the new guys seem to be right in tune with what's going on. They're happy to be here and hoping to contribute. And as far as all the experts are concerned, the Patriots, you know, still seem to be odds-on favorites to get to the Super Bowl and win it all again. Still too early for me to make that kind of a prognostication. But they have done some yeoman work, both in the... I think the main thing is that we knew that they got some great players in free agency. And they only drafted four players. They brought in some, you know, free agents to see if they can make the club. But even with the just having four draft, four players drafted, a lot of them sports people said that they would rate them at least a B plus or maybe even A minus based on the draft alone. So they've got some guys who are going to fill some key spots. And so I guess the only other news is whether Tom Brady had a concussion or not, as his wife said on a radio, on a television program this past week, that he suffered a concussion. If he did, and that's what she said, it was not reported, and the NFL is looking into it. Are we cheating again? I don't know. I don't know how you could play through a concussion and play as well as he played. And he didn't play that many games. He missed, what, the first four games of the season. But the question is, has he had concussions, I guess, that was brought up on another program. Has he had concussions during his long and illustrious career? Obviously, the potential for that could have occurred, but it wasn't noted. And he couldn't tell by the way he played or saw him, you know, limping off the field or carried off the field or whatever. I guess the question is, you know, long term, what is his life going to be, since we know the concussions situation that definitely worsens as individuals grow older. You know, having played so long and wanting to play three or four or five more years. Well, I guess, you know, certainly his wife and family should be concerned about that. I would have to go along with the fact that since, you know, first of all, he's such a, you know, the center of everything the Patriots do. I don't see how he could have had a concussion during a game or symptoms afterward and have it not be noted by, you know, someone, somewhere, somehow. And so, anyway. That's something that has to be considered and looked into. And I'm sure the NFL is turning over every rock to find out if the Patriots have done something illegal again. Here again, with a person the stature of Tom Brady and as much as he means to the ball club, I don't think that he's had a concussion. The question is, what does his wife base that on, other than the fact that I know she's concerned for his overall health? So, anyway, that's been, I guess, the biggest news out of the Patriots camp thus far. And I don't think they're going to make... Oh, yeah, well, I forgot. LeGarrette Blount got signed by the Philadelphia Eagles. And I'm sorry to see LeGarrette go. Hopefully, all these other guys they brought in are going to be able to fill his role. I don't think we have a real power back anymore. Burkhead, I guess, is the closest we have to that. Most of the guys that we have are going to be, you know, really not up the middle type, pounded into the ground type of back that LeGarrette Blount was. And like I said, coming off his best career year, I was sort of surprised at the way the Patriots went. But that's something that Bill Belichick has done in the past. He hasn't waited for people to go into a lower level of operation before he remove them from the operation. Seymour and Mankins and some other people we could mention along those lines. So, anyway, we're going to wait and see what happens. Doesn't look like they're going to get Devin McCourty's brother, but he hasn't signed with anybody yet, so who knows what's going to happen all the activities leading into the season continue to unfold. So we'll just have to wait and see what everybody else is going to do and what everybody else is doing and how things shake out. And then we'll be able to make some decisions and some information. We'll pass it right along to you. Okay, time to put the wraps on this edition of A Brown Perspective on Sports. Have a special program coming up. I guess I can announce it now on Sounds of Praise. We're going to be celebrating my wife's birthday coming up this week. So therefore, we're going to have a program dedicated to Elaine Paris Brown here on Sounds of Praise. So you stay tuned for that. And no, I'm not going to tell you how old she is. What, you think I'm crazy? And we'll be back next Sunday at 4 a.m. To talk sports again, Lord willing. Hopefully, you'll be here to tune in, listen in, give us a call, whatever. We'd be glad to have you. Stay tuned for Sounds of Praise.